Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Knoll Sports Podcast. My name is Jack Williams, here with Essen Kassam, and we're talking about all things Florida State. We had a big day with Tour of Duty just wrapping up early this morning. Women's basketball is kicking off postseason play. Men's basketball is getting close to postseason play. Baseball continues to be on a hot streak as well. And, talk about a little bit softball too. But before we get started with any of this at all, Mr. Kassam has some big news to share.
Yeah, guys, welcome to another episode, my final episode on this podcast. Yeah. Today is Thursday, March 7th. Friday, March 8th will be my final day at the Tallahassee Democrat. I have accepted a new position. I'll be a trending sports reporter for USA Today. It's a remote job, more pay, and more importantly, being a remote job, give me the opportunity to move closer to my girlfriend in Chicago. Shout out to her because she listens to our podcast sometimes.
Aww.
So even though she doesn't care about sports, she listens sometimes. So she'll be very happy to hear that part. But excited for the next step in my career. It's going to be a sad time. This beat was fun. I've been here, for two football seasons. I was about to enter my third tour of duty. Yeah. My second tour of duty. Thank God I went out to run because, oh my God, I was talking to Allison Posey from WCTV. I'm like, 2 minutes in, I would have been passed out already.
Yeah, I know. It is fatiguing.
It is sure, fatiguing. At least. But so has this beat for the last year and a half.
Ain't that the truth?
It's been fun. It's been so much fun, though. I got here. My first week was the week of FSU-LSU in New Orleans. And really been crazy since. Obviously, FSU pulled off that win. Had a fun season last year, going 10-3. Went 13-1 last year, 13-0 asterisk if you want to put that there. 23-4 the past 2 years. And it's been a lot of fun. This team coming up is going to be very, very good. Could be, I think, borderline contention for a national championship. Probably just needs a few chips to fall into place, a good spring practice, and players develop, and they are right there with anyone else. So it makes it hard to leave at this point because I do believe this program is heading in the right direction, Mike Norvell, but like I mentioned, opportunity for me for career-wise to move up, and then personal reasons, it's me great as well. Eventual goal is to move to Chicago and go from there. So I appreciate everyone listening and reading for the past year and a half. It's been a ride, but all rides end, I guess.
On to the next thing. I mean, this is a really good gig for Essen. He's done a lot in contributing to this beat and, really growing it and taking advantage of the season that FSU had and really platforming the players and the stories, whether it be from softball to football to soccer. He's done an amazing job in making sure that you guys are staying informed, knowing the different angles of what's going on, and just it's giving you all the information that you need to know. I know personally he's done a huge favor to me in introducing me to this beat in a very complicated and very, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. I think we'll just stay with complicated time there, where I was making the transition off the preps beat. I had never really been on a college beat before, he was able to introduce me to the Florida State world, teach me the ropes, kind of were able to work together and kind of understand how we were able to tackle this historic season for FSU together. Two guys that are still pretty fresh and covering college sports, but we figured it out together. We did a fantastic job together. I'm grateful for what Essen was able to teach to me, what Essen was able to help out with me, and based now just handing this beat off to me, I guess. But there's somebody coming in soon. But Essen's done a great job here as well. It's been a wild ride to say the least. But this opportunity is coming up it's gonna be great as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you're gonna do next.
Thank you, Jack. I know last week you sent me a text message going out to the bang. Going out with the bang. Placed top 10 in APSC for beat reporting on my way out. So I'm really proud of that. And even if we don't get an award, I'm proud of, you know, what me and Jack were able to do on the beat this past year. And it goes beyond football. I think we provide great football coverage. But it goes beyond football. You know, I was told recently that we shifted the FSU beat more to having to cover women's sports, which is fantastic. Because if that's all my legacy is over here, that's fantastic. Because yeah. I was proud of the softball coverage. I think we got confidence last year for just how, like, you know, Jack joined in the postseason and was finally able to move up. But we got confidence at the end of the year. Thank you for covering softball. Your Lonnie was, you know, was appreciative. I met Brooke the other day. I wasn't able to go to Sunday's game. I met her on Monday. She gave me a huge hug and was thanking me for the coverage we brought. Talked to Brian on the phone yesterday, and he was very, very, like, you know, he was just so happy with everything I provided for them. So I don't know if that's my legacy. This is just, you know, that's all I'm remembered for, is that's a great thing, is providing a difference. And, you know, also did some great features I'm proud of. You know, the long Mike Norvell feature obviously was a big one. That was huge. There was the swimmer story. Ariano Otario, fun story, overcoming, you know, cancer. And then recently, Jacob Marlowe, the baseball player. I think, Jack, I didn't tell you this. So my last feature at the Gadsden Times was about a coach's daughter, football coach's daughter, 6 days old, having to have open heart surgery. My last feature at the Tallahassee Democrat will go down as the Marlowe feature about open heart surgery.
That's wild. That's crazy how things work out like that.
It's kind of funny. Obviously, the best part is everyone's doing great between those two, so that's more than anything else that matters. But it's been a fun time. I enjoyed every moment of it, and I think I mentioned that I'm still going to do a lot of – there's still going to be opportunities for FSU reporting in this new job, so I'm not going extremely far. There's going to be a lot of opportunities, but yeah, I'm excited. Sad as well, but excited and sad. It's a weird, bittersweet moment.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, but – you got a wonderful going away gift this morning. You got to come out to wake up at 5:30 and go out to tour of duty, which started at 6 a.m. Which was, I mean, I know it was rough for me waking up for a bit. We were adjusting something on the mic, but yeah, I know it was rough for me waking up a bit. I did not sleep at all last night because I was anxious I was going to miss my alarm and just ended up not sleeping, so I didn't miss my alarm. But we got to get our first look at FSU coming up this football season here of tour duty, which is just basically a preseason conditioning workouts. There wasn't really a ball thrown around. I think there was further down the field, but we weren't really allowed down there. So there was no ball thrown. We didn't see any ball. There's no Warren Bossingse, as they say in Avatar. But we got to see some really cool things. And the cool thing is we got to see a lot of new guys, and we got to see a lot of guys coming back and just how they've developed in there and stuff like that. I think one of the biggest things that me and Essen talked about too was just, I think, the physical build of some of these guys. I think the biggest one that surprised the both of us was just Brock Glenn's physical build right now, and just not just how tall he's gotten, but just how physically built he's been. You can tell this guy is just really getting at it in the weight room. And, you know, I mean, how much, you know, we've talked about too how he's basically in line to be the backup no matter what next year. And then, you know, he could step up into a starting position the following year. But, I mean, just talking about what we saw from just his build, and, you know, we saw him work out, but just the way he looks now, I mean, how much different is that from what we saw in just the Orange Bowl, which was, God, 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
2 months, whatever it was.
Yeah.
What month are we in, Jack?
March? The what?
We're in March?
We're in March. It was probably two months ago.
Brock Glenn looked like a freshman, like, you know, scrawny little kid. In the Orange Bowl, media day, I remember, he was, like, you know, I wouldn't say wide-eyed, but he was ready for an opportunity, but he knew it was going to be a big moment for him in the Orange Bowl, so he looked like a freshman. Struggled a bit in his two starts last year, but I think people forget that this kid, you know, came in, got one game under his belt, in that, was it Southern, not Southern Miss, Southern Miss.
Yeah, Southern Miss.
Hurt his thumb and was out for several weeks. So his freshman season was severely, severely stunted about, like, you know, what he's able to do. But I think what I'm going to say about him is what I asked Coach Jordan about him after. And what he said about it was, like, you know, he went from this kid. If you went to the training room this year and saw them working out, you would like. He's like, if you look at Brockle, he looks like a linebacker working out, not a quarterback. That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah,
how he looks, what he's doing. You know, that's he's me a special player. I think while it's a foregone conclusion by a lot of people that DJU is the starter, I don't think it's completely the door's completely shut. I think Mike Novell will give Glenn a chance to do whatever he can to steal the position. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's a long shot to happen, but there's going to be every opportunity for him to try doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think another player we're both kind of fascinated by where Patrick Payton looked much bigger, stronger, agile, which is saying a lot because the dude is well built already, can move around well, and was a menace last year, especially at the end of the season. He kind of struggled at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But at the end of the season, he was a menace, you know, getting in there. I think he was tied with Caleb DeLoach for sacks. I think he ended up being, I want to say, leading a team with 9 or 10 pass breakups on the offensive line where he would just, like, you know, if he couldn't get to the quarterback in effect, that he would just get his hands up there, knock the ball down, and make an impact that way. But he's a player that I kind of overestimated last year, but I had him as my team. I was going to be like, he's going to surprise people when defensive MVP. And maybe if you take out Jerry Verse and Kalen Dolich from the team, he might have won. So.
Yeah.
But he's a special talent, and I'm excited to see him keep growing and getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy to see just the – I just find it crazy just the height that these guys keep putting on as well. I mean – you know, we're seeing Brock Glenn get a lot bigger, and then I truly don't remember Patrick Payton being that tall. He looked like he was getting up towards, and you know, I could be way off too, but it looks like he was kind of getting up towards Johnny Wilson height a little bit there. He was tall, out there as well. And some of these guys were, you know, just how big they looked and stuff like that. I mean, we want to talk about big guys, Cam Davis.
Man, Cam Davis is built.
Oh my god, he wasn't really inside, but like it was one of those, it kind of felt like a horror movie a little bit where we were in the IPF and you look out the door and Cam Davis is just in the doorway, like lifting up this medicine ball and throwing it down outside the doorway as it was dark out, and you just see this big dude, and you're like, how the hell is this a freshman? But
it's interesting. Like if you did not know he's a freshman, you're not gonna know he's a freshman.
Absolutely.
Think we've seen DJU and official visits, newcomer availability, and whatever else. But to see him in practice, oh my god, that guy is well built as well.
Just the way he's well built, the way he moves too. Like, again, just seeing these guys, like, again, like Essen said, it's so different from just seeing them stand and talk, and all of a sudden you see them in action, you're like, holy crap. But we got to see kind of guys coming back, kind of see the new guys coming in. It was the best thing to take away out of waking up at 5:30 to come out to a practice. But after that we get to talk to Norvell and strength and conditioning coach Josh Storms after. And Norvell, you know, he's usually a pretty positive guy just about everything, and he was pretty positive once again about about tour of duty and just in general. And you know, he talks about just the impact he's had and how guys years after tour of duty, the guys that are in the NFL or have graduated, moved on to other things, maybe outside of football, talk about just how intense tour of duty is and what this means to the program and athletic development as well. You know, seeing a lot of good things from the players, mentioned that he's very excited to see you know, this freshman class of defensive backs, but at the same time, he is looking forward to seeing them develop too. A lot of good things that coming out of Norvell, obviously a very positive guy. You know, what were the big things that you heard from Norvell, Essen, that really stuck out to you?
Well, no one asked him this question, but I do want to know about, like, you saw the list last, I think it was released last week, that said that put him 11th in coaches that would win in a race.
Yeah, that was wild, wasn't it?
That's something I need to bring up because one of my takeaways before we get to what Norvell said, I want to talk about, like, this team has so much speed. And that was so evident today. Like, there's a lot of speed. Patrick Payton's fast. Malik Benson's fast. There's just so much speed on this team. It's going to be fun to watch them this year because they're going to have so many explosive plays. They're going to have so many opportunities. DJU has, if he's the quarterback, has the arm to just, you know, and that's not a knock on Jordan Travis, but DJU has a better deep arm pass. You know, for deep passes where he just can just set up and stand back there and just fling the ball so effortlessly down the field. And when you have as much speed, as much talent, skill talent, skill position talent is he's going to have at his disposal. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. Malik Benson's fast. Saquon Williams has some speed. Destin Hill, everyone knows how fast he is.
Right.
So they have speed for days. And then just the ridiculous ranking of Mike Norvell being 11th, which we see him race every single morning, which is kind of funny.
I have oh my god, I don't know why I had a little lisp of that. I have the utmost confidence, in my opinion, that Mike Norvell could probably beat Dabo Swinney in a race. I think the reason why he's ranked up there so high is the runs he does down the hills before the game. But yeah, with Mike Norvell being ranked that low, I was like, come on, you guys obviously don't see him in the races he does before practice. Even then, this man is running all over the field and jumping all over the place as well. Essen has this theory that he doesn't think Mike Norvell sleeps at all.
He's watching basketball games late at night, tweeting, keep climbing. He's, at softball games. He's at soccer matches when he has a chance. He's at all these events. He's recruiting. Then everyone says he's the first person in the office. He's the last person to leave the office. Like, when does he sleep?
Yeah, it's something
else.
Does
he hire an intern that does the sleeping for him?
He must. If he has some, maybe he made some sort of deal with the devil to where he doesn't have to sleep, but I don't know. But yeah, Norvell was happy today, and then we got to talk to Josh Storms, who's just a great interview as well. Seems like a really great guy. Essen wrote a story about him later this year about just what his conditioning program has really done here at Florida State, and you could say that Tour of Duty is really kind of, you know, something that Josh Storms has been a huge part of developing and stuff like that. And the big thing that, I will have a story kind of reiterating a little bit more on this as well, is the impact that's had that guys at the next level in the NFL and just in speed, endurance, and training in general. As I mentioned before, that this is a team that's extremely fast, and it really showed out at the combine as well. There was a lot of high running times there at the combine, in the dash events and stuff like that. I can't think of the shuttle run was the other one as well. But the impact of Tour of Duty, we hear so much about it, and you hear so much about the guys talking about how intense it is and stuff like that. But then to go out and see the fact that these guys are doing like yard by yard drills, they're running the whole time, and as soon as they run and they do run, they get back in the line and they have to do it again, and they're doing these running drills for like 10 straight minutes,
close to 15 some of them, like it was ridiculous.
And it's almost like they're running like the whole entire hour, just running the whole time straight, and it's a pretty intensive workout, to say the least. So these guys were gas, but it's a program.
I was gas watching.
Oh no, it's tiring, especially doing this at 6 in the morning. Oh my god. But it's a program that's really, really, really helped FSU development-wise. As Josh Storms mentioned too, he was very positive about the way it went. And I think Essen, I can't remember. Yeah, you asked this question about like Norvell mentioning that this is the best tour of duty he's had in his time here. He's seen, right?
Yeah, I think maybe it was Ira who asked it, but I think Storm made a good point. He said, like, you know, it's one of the best he's seen early on, Tour of Duties. But Storm made a good point. Like, you know, they got back to campus on the first after everything. And they started Tour of Duty, like, some of the strength and conditioning stuff on the ninth. So the no time off, the players didn't have a chance to get out of shape. So he said, which is kind of funny. I think overall, as Jack alluded to, this team has a lot going on for it positively right now, which is why I'm high on their prospects this year. I think they could be a very dangerous team if everything breaks right, if they have a few, like, you know, positive breaks, if they're not snubbed from the playoffs.
Oh, God. But, yeah, it looks like they have obviously a lot of growth coming in before they kick off in Ireland in a few months here.
I think an interesting thing from that we could discuss is, you wrote a story, you had an update today on the marking chiefs.
Yes.
What's the update on their drive to raise money to go to Ireland?
Yeah. They had a fundraising goal yesterday. Yesterday was FSU's Great Give, which is just a fundraising day. A lot of universities around the country usually have one day where they try to fundraise as much money as they can, despite most universities not needing to fundraise, but whatever. But their original goal of they had original goal of $125,000. This was a good reason to fundraise, in my opinion, as a former band kid. They want to send 150 as many members as they can. I think they're looking at around 150 more if they can right now. Members to Ireland for the game. You know, Marching Chiefs have such an impact on the game and stuff like that. Norvell talked about the importance of what they do and wanting to be a part of it. And he even had a little. He even donated as well to the cause as well. But their goal originally was $125,000. And I believe they blew past it. They absolutely blew past it to the point where they had to reset their goal in the second half of the day. So like, okay, well, we basically just dominated our one goal of 125,000. Like, so now let's set it to 150,000. And they broke that by the end of the day. They finished the day fundraising $164,361 from 1,040 gifts and 952 donors. That was over 24 hours. You know, Mike Norvell, this is to send 150 members to Ireland. I think I said it's about $3,000 for each member to go. But yeah, hopefully get as many Marching Chiefs as they can over to Ireland. It'll be a really cool experience. I will say, as someone who was in marching band in college and in high school, it's an amazing experience, a fun experience to really go over and go and really experience band at, in all these different places and travel and stuff like that. It's an experience of a lifetime to go over to Ireland and do this in college. I can't imagine how much fun that will be. But yeah, it looks like it'll be interesting to see how many guys and gals they get over there. So FSU is going to be there. Marching band is going to be there. A local high school, a McClay school, their football team is going to be going over there as well, as part of the few high school games that they're going to play over there as part of this whole weekend that they're doing in Ireland, kind of celebrating American football, college and the high school level, kind of taking over the city of Dublin. But yeah, it's a really cool experience. I have my fingers crossed that maybe I'll be able to get over to Ireland for the game, but we'll see what happens in the future coming up. But like, Ireland's really cool. This is going to be a great experience for the marching band. And yeah, it's great that these kids will get to do something like this.
I think you said Ireland one more time. Liam would show up, so.
Yeah, it's like saying Beetlejuice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So be careful.
I'll tiptoe around it. But yeah. Yeah, no, it was a cool thing. And then football's just getting underway right now. I mean, we were able to get kind of a little inside access with tour duty.
A little bit of inside access. Like, I like the setup. I think usually last year was tour duty ended last week, technically. And then they had a week of practice this week, a couple of days of practice, and then spring break, and then practice resume after spring break. So FSU is doing a little differently this year, where they finished tour duty now on a Thursday, so they probably have one more day of classes.
Mm-hmm.
If there are classes tomorrow, I don't know how that works. I know I never scheduled. It's amazing to me how packed FSU is on Fridays, because I purposely never took Friday classes. And when I remember, like, by 2 o'clock, Alabama usually had the parking lots cleared out because they wanted to start getting ready for games.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's amazing to me that FSU still packed at 4 or 5 o'clock with students on campus. But, you know, get your education, kids. Don't, you know, it's important.
Don't slack. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But besides that, you know, next week is spring break. The week after, on Monday, whoever's here, hopefully when the new beat reporter runs in, will get to go to luncheon along with Jack, and then obviously practices start, I think it's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
We practice that week, if I'm not mistaken? I can't remember. I don't think they've actually sent the schedule out.
No, you know it's the Tuesday one. That's the one coming
up. Yeah, Tuesday one. I'm guessing it'd be Tuesday, Thursday. Yeah. I haven't looked at the schedule. I'm just saying off the top of my head. I think Saturday would be a scrimmage that's closed, and you get a Zoom conference after.
Then we got a pro day comes up on that Friday, correct?
Correct. I can't remember that. There's a schedule. I just don't have it on top.
I have some random dates listed in my calendar. So I saw that pro day is at the end of that week as well. But
pro day should be fun, because that's going to
be a good time.
That's going to be the 12 players at the combine if they decide to do anything else. Because I could see Trey Benson, like, I'm going to rest on my 4.39 and be happy with it. Some of those, like, you know, Keon Coleman probably want to beat us 4.61, or might be like, you know what, I ran a top speed of 20.70 in the gauntlet. I don't need to prove anything else. So it's going to be interesting. I could see Brandon Fisk be like, no, I had a great combine. I don't need to.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting who participates. But if everyone from the combine comes, and then you get players like Akeem Dent and a couple of offensive linemen, you know, you could be pushing 15, 16, 17 players.
Right.
That FSU did lose that could have a chance to show their, what they're worth and what they have. So the combine's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what the team, who's there, and what they look like, mm-hmm. and what kind of talent they, you know, can, what they can gain from that. It sounds like one person we probably know probably won't be throwing based on the timeline he gave to the media at the combine was Jordan Travis. He said it'd probably be around May, June when he's able to be fully cleared and start doing stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
But the great news is he's out of a walking boot. He's just not cleared for football activities, you know, because being able to walk without a boot and play football are two different things from my basic understanding of football.
It's the football continues to start rolling here. It's starting to pick up before you know it. It's going to be kickoff, but we've got a long ways to go before that.
No, definitely. No, and the thing about that is, like, you know, what's going to be interesting is after spring break, I'm going to definitely text Jack and ask him, like, what was the intensity level like? Because last year that was interesting was FSU kind of came out, had a good first week of practice. Spring break came back, had a lethargic practice.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel like Norvell does this anyways, where he just picks a practice. He's like, all right, I'm going to be a bully this week and yell at everyone and yell at you guys after practice and say, it's not a good work day. You know, this kind of thing he does just to really, really push the troops. I think one thing he mentioned today, and Jack heard that, you know, he said they're going to make the players uncomfortable in practice.
Yeah.
That's something that's a common theme for him. It's something that goes back to his Memphis days when Antonio Gibson, I talked to him for that massive story I did last year on Norvell. It's like, you know, he has he either picks on the player or just picks on the team. Like, I'm going to be mean today, and I want to push everyone, make them uncomfortable. So it should be fun.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, absolutely, like Essence says, the approach will be interesting to see the least as football gets rolling here. But, you know, we got another team that's right now, they're in the postseason play officially today.
On
Thursday tonight, they women's basketball is in the ACC tournament right now as a number 6 team.
Against number 7 win Wake Forest? Or 8 win Wake Forest?
Against 7 win Wake Forest. They who they played last year in this position, Wake Forest was a little ranked wasn't dead last. Wake Forest is the worst team in the conference this year and somehow pulled off an upset over Virginia last night.
To be fair, not the worst team in the conference anymore, I guess you could say.
I guess they're not. No, they won their first round game. Wake Forest, however, like, this team had 6 wins coming into this game. I believe they were on a 12-game losing streak in ACC play before they snapped it and then ended the season, I think, with regular season, 2 more losses. They beat a Virginia team that... And I guess it makes sense in the end. A Virginia team that wins the games that they are expected to lose pretty badly, and they lose the games they're expected to squeak out wins in. This is a Virginia team that ripped off wins against Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Louisville, and Florida State, all when they were ranked teams. Yes, they're 4-8 against ranked opposition this year, but prior to this season, they were 1-59 in their last 60 against ranked opponents. Which says something, and they just are coming off a win over Virginia Tech, who's the number 1 seed in this tournament on Sunday. And they fell to the worst team in the conference, as Essa mentioned, not the worst team anymore. So
they've officially, like, you know, gotten rid of that label, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, they still are the number, I think it's, oh God, number 12. It's like 16 seed they are. But 14 seed, but they will be playing FSU tonight.
I just pulled the schedule. I think it's kind of fun to look at this. 7-24 overall, 226 winning percentage, 2-16 conference play. They're 3-13 at home and 2-10 away. But here's some stats that are going to blow your mind, Jack.
All right.
They're in a 1-game winning streak, and they're 2-1 neutral site games.
Where's their other neutral site game?
I have no idea, but that, obviously Greensboro was a mutual site game. They probably had a tournament beginning of the season where they went 1-1.
I guess they enjoy playing.
They like the neutrality.
They do. I guess they like neutrality. They hate being at home. They hate being on the road. I guess they like the neutrality. Oh, my God. But, I mean...
I just told you the stat's going to blow your mind.
Yeah, I mean, but...
1-game winning streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wild stat. But, you know... keys to success for this game as well. Florida State can't be playing down to their opposition. They need to be, obviously, you need to be weary when you're playing in postseason play because anybody can win at any given time. And we can talk about the men later on about that. But yeah, they just need to be weary. They need to get the ball going a little bit more and passing it a little bit more, see the scoring go. It's something that's been asked for all season. We haven't been seeing too much of it. You know, the scoring has really gone through KK Timson, Tania Latson, Omira Gordon, and Sarah Bajetti. Outside of that, it's really kind of faltered off. If someone in outside of those four was able to give some support, a little bit of scoring support, this team could have a sound run there as well. But
Florida State won their two matchups, 73-61 in Tallahassee on December 31st. And I think
71-63.
On February 15th in Winston-Salem. So I'm just going to pull up the box score from the last matchup while we talk. And just to tell you guys, yeah, they were 4-21 at that point, so they've won three games since February 15th, Jack.
Oh, it's a big jump.
Tonight, Lutz had 23 points in that game, 7-19 shooting, hit a 3-pointer, 8-9 from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Michaela Timpson had a huge game at 16-16, and Sir Bajetti had 17 points in that game as well. Omira Gordon had 10 points, side deck to your point. Sakaya White and Alexis Tucker combined for 5 points. That was the rest of the points from the team.
Yeah.
So the big four can score, and that's part of the thing is like, they need the big four operating well, and all four of them playing well, and they need someone to step up as well. So it cannot just be, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this game plays out.
It will be, absolutely, and it's postseason basketball, so it's always extremely exciting. I don't think FSU is looking to get this job won and done and then move on to the next, but you know, you gotta be weary.
What's crazy is this will be Tania Latson's first career postseason game.
It will be Tania Latson's.
She was entered for that Wake Forest game last year, did not play in the Georgia game, and obviously that was the end of her season. So, first career postseason game, good for her. I'm excited to see. I think this is gonna be a good opportunity because Tania Latson, I did a feature when I did a couple weeks ago, underscores like, she's averaging 21 points per game last year at 20 this year, I think. Is that right, Jack?
She's on a very similar pace right now.
Similar pace. So, like, you know, if you're a 20-point scorer in the ACC, that's a pretty damn good player.
It might be identical right now.
And it's crazy how I argued most of the country does not know who exactly she is or how good she can be. So we get to the ACC tournament. It's going to be her first time playing it. If she has a big game, it's ACC tournament game. People are going to be paying more attention. She does that for a couple of games. I think Tania Latson will be, I'm not saying she's the best player in college basketball. I'm not saying she's top five. But top 10, top 12 conversation, I think she belongs in that.
She's an elite player.
She's an elite player. And I think once the country gets to know who she is, I think it's going to blow up and people are like, oh, wow.
Mm.
Trust me, coaches and the media know who she is, but I'm not sure the country knows who she is like fully yet.
Yeah, it's about getting FSU to play the right games and, you know, win and have Tania, you know, have the, you know, environment to succeed, which she does and stuff like that. But you know, if they can make a run here in the ACC tournament and then possibly get something good things to happen in the NCAA tournament, we could really see Tania Latson's stock really jump here as well. She's averaging 0.1 more points than she did last year.
I think it's important because how she closed the season. She had a couple of 34-point games and, like, just a beast. I think she's still going for her career high is 35. She got 34 twice this year, so I think she wants to beat that.
Some of the streaks she gets on through game for game, like that stretch she had earlier this year where she was finishing with she had 30 points, at least 30 points. I think it was three straight games.
Something
right?
Like that.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not going to throw any other context, okay? The school record is 40 points.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm saying.
It's hard to score 40 points.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that. I'm just going to throw that number out there. And, you know, something might happen or might happen.
I said the games are going to get a lot harder from here on out, too. So.
Well, I'm just saying in the ACC tournament.
I think.
Just keep an eye out.
Do you know what the ACC record is?
Oh, I don't care. I'm just saying the school record.
Okay, I might be interesting to see what she can do. Maybe she'll go off tonight and stuff like that. 40 points is a hard push, but
if she gets 40 tonight, Jack owes me.
I'm not giving you money. No,
I'll dinner before I leave.
No, I'm not giving you anything. I made you a nice little edit that Essen's going to post later. That was my gift. But anyway, that game will be on tonight. Should be a fun game. Like I said, a lot of the games come from here on out should be fun. Winner gets Syracuse.
Which should be another fun game.
Which should be another fun game if FSU makes it there. Syracuse was the one that kind of derailed FSU's success a little bit here towards the season. FSU was on a nice little run earlier this year. I'm looking at the wrong thing right now.
Also, ACC, can you have a better website?
Are you on the ACC site right now?
Yeah.
I'm on ESPN. I never use the sites anymore. Yeah, ESPN one's so straightforward. It's not great, but it gets the job done. But
like, I just want to look at the bracket. Like, it should not be this difficult to pull up a bracket.
Yeah, it shouldn't. But, like, last time they played, it was a 79-73 result in favor of Syracuse. It broke a win streak for FSU. It was their second conference loss. And it was that streak that FSU had where they were really struggling in the fourth quarter. They were really struggling to close out. Syracuse outscored Florida State in the fourth quarter of that game 25-11. Both teams shot very similar, except for three. FSU shot 23% from three. Syracuse shot 47% from three. So obviously that was the difference. Rebounds were tied. You don't really see that a lot. And if this game ends up being happening, if FSU ends up winning, we're going to see another great battle between Diasha Fair and Tania Latson, who are two of the top scorers in women's basketball right now, two of the top scorers in ACC basketball right now. Fair is averaging 21.9 points. Excuse me, tongue twister there. And then Tania Latson is not really far behind her right now at 21.4 points. Diasha Fair is also, I believe, in the top five right now, in the top five, top ten right now, in women's all-time NCAA scoring. Syracuse, their head coach, just got ACC Head Coach of the Year. This is a team that really, people knew they were going to be successful, but I didn't think people thought they were going to blow up the way they did this year. This is a team having a really good year, and FSU has the chance to play spoiler early on in the ACC tournament. Syracuse, I think, is going to make the NCAA tournament no matter what. But
I think FSU is no better.
FSU will too, but this will be a very entertaining game if it aligns again.
Mm-hmm. No, and then just looking at the path, I think if they win Thursday today, they play tomorrow against Syracuse. If they win that game, they would play probably the winner of NC State. Is that NC State?
The Georgia Tech game.
Yeah, the winner of NC State versus whoever they play, because they don't have an opponent yet. NC State plays the winner of Duke Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more than looking at NC State in the semifinal. And then the championship game would be against more than likely Virginia Tech. So it's a path that if FSU plays to its full capacity, can definitely get there and win the entire thing. But as we saw last year and as I've seen glimpses of this year, they could also go out today.
Yeah.
So it's a team that if they play their A game, they could beat anyone. If they play down to their opponent, they could lose to anybody.
Yeah.
Which is true of any team in the postseason, but I think FSU is a perfect microcosm of that. Of just they can take teams out of the game with their defense and their fast scoring abilities, but they can also take themselves out of the game if they take two shots too quickly and are too dependent on outside shots and fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
the game, and we should actually talk about this a little bit, because I have never seen that in my life before. A missed shot, and you're probably going to double overtime, but instead you collect the ball and decide to call a timeout when you have none left. Gift FSU two free throws. Bajetti knocks down 1-2, and FSU pulls out a one-point miracle win in overtime.
Oh my god!
Over in a game that probably shouldn't have been that close.
I'm not gonna lie. I had the story prepped up that FSU was gonna lose that game. They played awful for three quarters. They really came and pulled everything together in the fourth to really obviously tie the game and force it into overtime, and then they just dominated in overtime. Well, I would say they dominated in overtime. They had a little stroke of luck, and something that they kind of, I think both teams have kind of lacked in a few years. They had the chance to not a few years, but this season, they had a chance to close out, and FSU closed out. There's been a few situations this year with the men's and women's team, and we'll talk about, I think, a little bit more with the men. But, like, the women's team, too, where they've had chances to close out games, and they can't get that final shot there. They finally got that final shot. It was looking very tense when Bajetti missed the first shot, but she get the second one, and then Clemson, I think Clemson goes down the other way, misses, and then Timpson gets the rebound. They foul her, and then Timpson gets her one shot. And then I think Clemson, I can't remember, I think Clemson made one more basket or one more free throw or something like that. And then, you know, it was a one-point win. Just the look in Bill and Brooks' eyes when Clemson called that timeout, it was like a child like begging for something. You could see the look in their eyes, and they're looking at the ref and going, they're like, they have no more timeouts, they have no more timeouts, and the ref's like, you're right. And then, and I remember I'm watching this game, and sometimes I just don't know what the hell's going on, so I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, it looks like FSU called a timeout because they were doing that with their hands. I'm like, they didn't have possession. And then they're like, Clemson called a timeout, and I'm like, how in the world are you in a situation like that and you immediately forget how many timeouts you have and basically give the opponent the game? And it's
ask J.R. Smith.
It's oh my god, yeah, you reminded me about that now, but like, oh my god, so it's just like Brooks said, she had a good quote in the post game about how that was an important lesson of just being aware of the game, obviously. And understanding, anybody can win at any given time.
No, I think the only time I was talking to Liam about this other day. The only time I can remember that is like the documentary of Michigan, where it was Juwan Howard for the Fab Five who called the timeout when they didn't have one. So I cannot remember of any other instance. I was talking to Steve Stone, who is the SID for FSU men's basketball, mm-hmm. and Bill Ferreira, the assistant women's basketball coach, on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And, or Monday, actually. And we were just talking about, like, neither of them had ever seen that before. So just a quirky, unique situation where...
It's wild.
It's so wild. But I think the last thing we'll talk about women's basketball for this one is, you know, the most important thing for FSU right now is Tanae Latson's healthy.
Right. Right. I mean, that was the big thing last year. And, you know, Essen could... You know, talk about a little bit more on their situation. I know I've had to read your stories over and over again these past few weeks, just reiterating how important their depth and health is right now. I believe the team, knock on wood, is fully healthy right now. Because
like you mentioned, Tanae Latson got hurt, mm-hmm. Missed the ACC championship game. Believe Amira Gordon got hurt in that game.
The ACC game.
ACC championship game, and she missed the first round game. Mm-hmm. And then they were already shorthanded. They go down to they had 10 players in the roster. They were down to 8 players last year. And then in the first half, I don't think she came back to the game either. KK Timpson got hit in the face, was bleeding, and didn't return, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So they were down to 7 players, and just like it was just how do we even do this, you know? Like, what are we supposed to do now?
Yeah.
Kind of situation. It was against a Georgia team they really honestly should have beaten last year. They were better than if they're fully healthy. Ended up being a 66-54 loss. And then it was a fairly close-ish game. They had a 5-point lead after the first quarter, down by 5 at halftime, down by 5 entering the fourth quarter, and Georgia just ran away with a 7-point fourth quarter win. So ended up winning by 12. So it was a game that, man, if they had a little more health and luck on their side, they could have won.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, like you said, health was the big thing as well. And, you know, luck, especially this time of the year, Lady Luck is in, hopefully, in everybody's fate throughout the month. But it is truly a month where anybody can win. But if you're in the right shape, if you have everybody healthy, you're playing good basketball, you're unstoppable, as we've seen through Fairleigh Dickinson and Loyola Chicago and University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Like, if you are playing good basketball right now, St. Peter's, no one is stopping you right now.
Yeah, truly. Exactly. So, it's going to be a good test for FSU, obviously. They're a team that we believe should be firmly in the... firmly in, I think, the last bracketology on the 4th by Charlie Cream on ESPN. I think you had a tweet about it, Jack.
I think they're locked in the Columbia... Nope, they moved out of it again.
They're in the Columbia region. They would play Princeton at this point.
They're in the Columbia regional now?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So they would get the worst possible opponent. in the second round.
I think this is just hopefully should win some ACC games here, because this is not a good season. Princeton's very good too. Like, Princeton, who do they beat? Princeton had a run to the Sweet 16 last year.
Princeton's pretty good.
They second round they beat NC State in the first round, and then they lost to Utah in the second round. But this is a Princeton team you don't want to mess with. In my opinion, FSU needs to really make a run here in the ACC tournament, because they need to get out of these one regions now. They were just in the Columbus regional, which is another team I don't think you want to mess with, and you definitely don't want to mess with South Carolina.
Just pulling up herhoopstats.com, which is a great site for women's basketball. Fantastic. I lose it all the time because they do advanced analytics for women's basketball. They used to have different numbers. You can use different things. Fantastic site for women's sports. But yeah, in that one, they have Florida State as an 8 seed playing Marquette, which is another tough team in Portland, and that would mean a matchup against Stanford in the second round, which is, you know...
I mean, they've seen them before. I think they played them pretty well, actually, too.
But still, Stanford.
It is.
If you can avoid a 2 seed or a 1 seed as early on as possible, that's the goal.
Yeah, they... Again, it would be good for them to start... to start winning some games here in the ACC tournament to help their bracket outcomes.
Definitely.
Coming up.
Speaking of brackets.
I don't know if men's basketball is going to be in any brackets besides the one they have to be in. But
they're going to be firmly in the ACC race. And so is Miami, their opponent. And that's probably it for the postseason for both teams. Got Miami. Look. It's still Miami, Florida. Florida State at the end of the day. That's going to be fun, you know.
That was a good time. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that matchup plays out. Jack may be covering that game. I'll be not long gone. I'll still be in Tallahassee, but I won't be working anymore.
I will be at that game. It's another men's game. Hopefully it will be more exciting, like Essen said. Hopefully I will not be waiting for it to be over. The men's team just can be...
It's a 4 o'clock game, so it's not as bad. Yeah, it's not too late.
No, yeah, not a 9 o'clock game. I mean,
I think they...
It is what it is.
I want to pull this up. They're 9-7 at home this year, so good chance to get back above 500 and finish the season at 500 at conference play. They are 15-15 and 9-10 conference play this year. So they have a chance of getting over 500, getting back to 500 in conference play, and beat a rival.
Mm-hmm.
Last time at home, they beat NC State. They're coming off two tough road losses. 85-76 at Georgia Tech last Saturday. 88-73 at Pittsburgh on Tuesday. Their last home game was they beat NC State 90-83. And then they beat Boston College over here 84-76.
Mm-hmm.
And then 76-67 lost to Duke at home. So 2-1 their past three games at home. Obviously, has some work to do. You know, the road games show them a lot. You know how to beat FSU at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot the three, defend the three, and you have a good chance of winning. Don't turn the ball over. I think that's where FSU gets you, is really just forcing you to turn the ball over. That's when they play their best, when they turn you over.
Yeah, it's very straightforward when playing against Florida State. Florida State's obviously been had the beating heart of Jameer Watkins kind of pacing this offense all throughout the year. This team has been kind of all over the place all year. I think now they're kind of settling into a consistent role. But at the same time, they could, again, like I said, if you are playing good basketball this time of year, you could rip off some wins and surprise some people. As I mentioned too, Florida State's lost two of their last three. And then we could talk about the stat line of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Over their last 11, they've gone 1, 2, 3. They've gone 8-3, and two of those wins have been against the same exact team. One on the road, one at home with Boston College, and it's just this team needs some momentum. Big time going into postseason play. Essen, did you say they're currently holding on to the 9 seed right now? Or are they 10?
I think 9 sounds good, so we'll check.
Let's see. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're 10th right now.
So
they need to win if they want to. Well, I don't know. That's NC State in front of them is 17-13.
Well, the conference record.
They're 9-10, but NC State's 9-10 as well.
I made the mistake of opening ACC.
NC State plays Pitt, who beat FSU pretty soundly recently, 88-73. I don't know. The path for FSU, I think the most FSU can do for itself right now is win its game. It's going to need help from some other people.
So I'll say this. You win this game, and then you go into the tournament and have to win some games. let's see. Let's pull up a bracket here quickly.
Boys, can I get you anything? I'm just pretending.
Yeah, so as a 10 seed, they would play next Tuesday against number 15 seed, whoever that is. We're not going to get into the semantics of all that. So they need to get it to a top 9 seed, to get a single bye. Mm-hmm. And to start the tournament on Wednesday, which a day of extra rest is a huge thing, as we know, because...
Absolutely.
In order to do what Florida State needs to do, Florida State, you know, let's say they beat Miami, and then they get Tuesday off, okay? Mm-hmm. Win number 16 comes, 16-15 all of a sudden. Or they're 17-15 after a first round win against the number 8 seed. I'm putting it in 5 now, okay? Number 9 now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be number 8 seed, 17-15. Then when you get the number 1 seed on Thursday, March 14th, you got to probably win that game. That happens somehow. 18 wins. Friday, you get to the 19 game, that game. I think if they get to the semifinal, they might be in a confirmation NIT again. They win the semifinal game and they win the championship. They are a conference tournament team.
Yeah, and
they're a tournament team, and that's, you know, automatic qualifier, and it's done. It's over. The ACC has a team in, you know, but you're gonna play UNC or Duke, who are they play Saturday, I think, for the conference championship, or unless UNC already won it. I don't remember exactly.
If Duke wins, they would be tied. Their conference records would be tied. Their overall records are tied.
So they would get a conference share, and then they would have some tiebreakers. So they would.
Yeah.
So for all intents and purposes, they are playing for a conference championship. UNC Duke on Saturday, which is, you know, how it should be. That's the last game of the season.
Exactly.
You love to see that as a basketball, just a pure basketball fan. So yeah, you have to play either UNC or Duke on your path there. Jeez, you have to beat them, and then you get. The winner of the 4-5 game, if you get there, if you're lucky. So Virginia or Clemson. Oh, sorry, Virginia or Pittsburgh. So it's a tough uphill task. And we've seen with this Florida State team is like they are a wild card. They could go out and lose to Georgia Tech on the road. They could go out and lose to Louisville and give 101 points on the road.
Right.
Or they could sit at home and beat a Wake Forest or, play a competitive game against UNC, play a competitive game against Duke. So it's just it's hard to know what this team's going
to
do.
It's very hard to predict, absolutely. And I think a part of it is, I think this team is pretty consistent at scoring. It needs to learn how to get stops. It needs to get stops and stuff like that. You can't have guys going off for 35 points.
Definitely not. No.
Jared McCain. But anyway, move on from basketball.
We're done with basketball. We're talking to the game. Games that are getting kind of exciting now. FSU baseball 11-0.
They're 11-0.
11-0. This is something that Ryan Kelly pointed out yesterday from WCTV. They're getting a lot of shout-outs on this podcast, so they should have done it.
Should start listening to it, yeah.
But they won 11-0 on opening day. They're 11-0 now. This is the best start to a season since 2019 season, which was Mike Martin's last season as head coach. Blake Jarrett yesterday said, he's 11 is looking down at us and smiling. I mean, he probably is, because unlike last year, this seems fun to watch. And yesterday's game, I cannot emphasize enough, was a big, big win for when it comes to FSU soft for baseball, because last year the season kind of started falling apart against the Florida Gulf Coast, right ahead of spring break, and they actually had some demons. Three pitches in, first pitch was a ball, second pitch was a line drive home run to left right field, and the third pitch was a line drive opposite field home run to right field. 2-0, FGCU. Two batters in, three pitches in, and Connor Whitaker could have easily just, been to shelve himself and struggled.
Freaked out, yeah.
But he retired the next 15 hitters, set the tone. FSU scored one run in the bottom of the inning. They were shut out in the second, and then the third, they finally took the lead. Had a couple endings that he scored runs, and then just went off in the, I think it was the fifth inning, the fourth or fifth inning, they scored six runs. And then just had another great inning, hit four home runs, total for tonight. Grand Slam, Jaime Ferrer, his first career Grand Slam, third home run of the year, third home run in four games. Mm-hmm. Alex Lodice hit his second home run of the season, second in two games. So good for him. I know his bat's starting to come around now, so it makes that lineup even more dangerous, even more potent. Mm-hmm. Cam Smith had a home run. And then Marco Dingoes, I think.
Yeah.
Which is an appropriate name for hitting a home run. Hit a home run. His first career went to FSU.
Dingoes, absolutely.
So FSU went 19-3. You know, I thought at some point I'm like, I was just sitting there, I'm like, do I have to rewrite the how many runs they scored the season high? Say it 19, so I'm like, or say it 19 or 20, so I can just be like, I don't change too much in the story.
Right.
But so they scored 19 runs, 19-3 of the 11 games so far this year. They've scored double figures in seven games. Mm-hmm. They came in yesterday averaging 11.3 runs, which is, what is that, seventh in college baseball, tied for sixth in college baseball.
Wow.
So it's a very talented offensive team. You know, Connor Whitaker, it looks like he's going to stay in weekday starts because, mm-hmm. I don't know, Jack, if you heard, they play this opponent next week, which is supposed to be pretty good, Florida.
I've never heard of them.
They might have played in the College World Series last year. Against LSU.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. So they got a tough opponent in Florida next week. So Connor Whitaker makes sense to continue to pitching on Tuesdays. I think once you get in the conference play, they might try to flip him to a weekend start. But at this point, you are going with winning games. That's going to help the RPI. The weekend games have been meh in the terms of opponents, which is fine. There's not enough.
No, I mean, it's probably a great time for fans to watch them put up a million runs against Butler and then Western Carolina, and now this weekend they're playing New Orleans, who I always forget there's a University of New Orleans.
The Pirates?
The Pirates, yeah. So it will start picking up in a second. The weekend after this, they host Notre Dame to open up ACC play. So the competition's obviously going to ramp up.
It's going to pick up, yeah.
Obviously, the Florida game, too. It's just this beginning of the year. That's when we're going to start seeing the test that this team is should be a top 25 team right now. Yes, they are undefeated, and that is a feat to achieve itself. But once the competition level changes, then...
To be fair, I'll give them this. They are, like, I think when I last looked, 15th in RPI. So they've earned, you know, like, when you're 11-0, you play the competition in front of you, and they've done a good job of that. They won their games. I just need to see more to see if they're legit. But credit to them, they could hit the ball well. If Cam Leiter continues to throw it well, pitch it well, and then you continue to have great outings from Jamie Arnold, who is 3-0 with a 0.00 ERA. Can't get better than that, Jack, by the way.
Sure, you definitely cannot.
Unless you can get negative ERA somehow, you cannot get better with
Jamie. The ball's coming back to you.
He's taking runs off the board now.
Do that. He gets to master dark magic or something.
No, what he's got to do is just speed Domenech Ross up and just start robbing home runs and extra base hits at the wall. Like, you know,
come here! Yeah.
He does it once a game. He's like, he's just got to throw the ball and just run out there and bring the ball back.
He's going to get a really big string tied to the end of the ball, and you're going to see it go over the wall, and you're going to see it fly back over.
But yeah, no. So
down.
FSU baseball off to a great start. You know, I think the parallel is really, it's a cool story. It's maybe a little redundant story, but the parallel of, like, you know, just 11, you know, Mike Martin watching over Florida State baseball after he passed on.
I think people are enjoying it.
The fans are enjoying it. That's what matters. You know, the players are enjoying it. Link Jarrett looks like he's much happier after games this year.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, no, I think a cool thing yesterday was, and something that, you know, obviously you want to sustain, is how the top of the order did. I think I had the stat in my story from last night. They were, I believe, 7 of 18 with 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, and 12 runs scored. So it just...
They pointed the eye.
Yeah, definitely. No, Jaime Ferrer's grand slam was when it was 7-1, kind of just 7-2, kind of opened up the game, made it 11-2. Mm-hmm. Then he gets the home run the next at bat. And you kind of had this, they were down 2-0, and it looked really bad for a second, but then they bounced right back up. It's a team, like, if that happened last year, they fell down 2-0, that's a punch in the face, and they're TKO'd, they're probably not getting up.
Right.
So the fact they're getting up and still fighting after that is a major win for this team, and the, that step they're showing going in the right direction.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely.
Let's get to softball.
Up, we'll roll into our final team.
Yeah, no. So
oh, excuse me.
We got Lonnie on Tuesday, just previewing the series. They're off to Florida Gulf Coast, Fort Myers, for a 5-game and 3-day tournament. They were unranked in the USA in the Softball America Top 25 poll this week, following a 6-5 loss to Jacksonville on Sunday at Rattler Field, which they played there because Jacksonville was already playing FAMU for a series. So these after the cancellation
made the trip down Monroe.
Yeah, so they just went there. It was their first game in a week, in over a week, and they played one game in the past 2 weeks. So Lonnie would not chalk up the rust. Allison Royalty gave up 6 runs in the first inning, then Ashland down. They came in and shut them down. Just a tough, tough loss for them. But they have a chance to right their wrongs with 5 games this weekend. And then it gets crazy. You get, you know, Purdue, Florida Gulf Coast, 2 games against each, Western Michigan. They're all right. They're about around 500-ish teams. They're okay. They're nothing special. But after that, you get South Dakota State, which is another, you know, not going to be a great challenge. It's going to be just games, getting games in there, doubleheader on Tuesday.
How dare you talk ill of the Jackrabbits.
Sorry. We're big Jackrabbit fans here.
I guess, yeah, so, but...
But Wednesday, you get number 10 Alabama.
Do get that.
And then Friday, you start ACC play with number 4. Number 4,
they're
Duke.
Duke's up to 4 now?
Yeah,
The softball rankings are... Yeah, I mean, they changed, like, the weather this year. They're all over the place.
But apparently Duke is really good. So, I mean, and that's getting way, way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
We talked to Lonnie on Tuesday. She mentioned, you know, just... And the story's up online right now if you want to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But she mentioned, you know, just the negative social media interactions, the negative talk from fans. It's starting to get some, it's a young team.
Mm.
It's a team that's lost a lot of talent from a team that was the run-up in the World Series. And, you know, Lonnie did try to get some better pitching in the... I don't want to say better pitching, but some pitching in the portal. Just didn't pan out. So FSU is kind of just working what they have right now. They have, and it's a talented group, but don't get me wrong. But you have... You're depending on Allison Royalty, who's a, you know, a very good pitcher, but she's not a great pitcher. That's fair to say. If that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, you know, McKenna Reed, who's still figuring out, making adjustments to the adjustments that hitters are making to her pitches. Then you have Ashlyn Danley and Mimi Gooden, who look like two good pitchers that could be good in the future, but they're gonna have to work through stuff this year,
mm-hmm.
or for at the beginning of the year, especially when you get into ACC play and teams start charting, making adjustments. So it's gonna be a bit of adjustment. So Lonnie mentioned, you know, some of the outside conversations right now on social media. And then just going from being ranked last year to this, began the season, but they were ranked pretty highly. And just struggling now. And struggling is a relative term. They're 11-4, you know?
Yeah.
And for their standards, they're struggling.
It's, I don't know, like Essen said, it's a different year. Every year is going to be different. It's, you have freshmen coming in, you have new pitchers stepping in trying to fill a hole that, you know, it's kind of it's a hard hole to fill with Catherine Sandercock leaving and trying to figure out what adjustments are going to allow them to get as close to that without having her. And at the same time, too, you have to remember this is the same FSU team that has a win over Stanford. I'm trying to think of who else they've notably beat. They absolutely demolished the teams that were in the Dugout Club Classic tournament. And I mean, this is a team that's still, like Essen said, like. But the term bad is relative and stuff like that. Like, this is still a team that just is 11-4 on the year. Like every FSU team cannot go undefeated every year. And
I mean, no team can go undefeated. Oklahoma lost, guys, for crying out.
Yeah, I mean, it's also to this point, too, it's a very strange year this year in softball where everybody, nobody is running away with just an undefeated record except for Texas right now, who may get a little further ahead, could be coming to Florida State as the number one team in the country. However, considering the ways things have trended this year, they might not, considering it seems like there's a new top five every week. But I don't know. Lonnie's right. Like, this team is it's still very early in the season. The team's still trying to figure out its identity. It's still trying to figure out what it wants to do with pitching. People need to, I don't know, pour yourself. Oh. If you're of age, pour yourself a glass of wine or whatever beverage. Don't drink too much of it and just relax. There's no reason to freak the hell out right now.
I'm not going to quote Aaron Rodgers on here too much. But
no, we're not quoting it. Why are we quoting Aaron Rodgers?
His tweet of, you know, was the perfect tweet of just like, you know, relax.
True. I will say relax in my own context. I refuse to quote that man.
That's fair.
But
go Packers.
No. but like, yeah, just calm down. Like, seriously, there's no reason.
So you have a choice now. You're gonna either say you need to calm down or relax. Which one are you picking?
Quotes about being calm. Here, I'll find out here. No, now you got me on this. So now we have to do this to end the podcast. We need to find here from Brian Tracy. I don't know who that is. Set peace of mind as your highest goal and organize your life around it. There. When you're thinking about Florida State softball, set peace of mind as your highest goal.
Or just go on the album Lover and listen to You Need to Calm Down.
No, we're not.
And that will help you.
No, that's not about softball.
Yeah, but you need to calm down.
That doesn't have to. Okay, I'm not going to get into this right now. All right.
We're deep into this podcast.
Anyway, just support the teams, guys. They're fun. It's fun games to go to. Softball games are always a fun time.
It's funny to me, like, people, like, when they lose a game, never doubt Lonnie. They lose two games. Well, I don't know if there needs to be discussion. No, guys, just chill out.
Let's not be questioning one of the, like, more decorated coaches in college softball right now.
By the end of the season, FSU should be where they want to be. Mm. And if not, they have enough talent. They have enough talent coming in next year that even if it's a 1 year, like, you know, it's not the FSU standard, they'll get back to it. It's not a end of the world situation with this program.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, again, it's not. Don't go into nightmare mode if they make it into the postseason, every game is not at Graff. You know, it's, you know, you'll be good. I personally think they'll still host a regional. It's still very early on, but the team just has a very good track record of success. A super regional, if they're able to make it that far, you know, maybe they'll have to go on the road. It's fine. And then, you know, will they get challenged at times? Absolutely. And stuff like that. I mean, just like, yeah, just enjoy the games. It's sports. As my dad told me growing up, if you're not having fun, what's the point of it? Like, enjoy, like, obviously in the college level, and especially since our job depends on covering sports, there's a little bit more on the table here. But, you know, the essence of sports and what it is about enjoying it as well too, and that goes for the fans. So don't just take a chill pill. All right, y'all. Okay.
All right. Cool.
So
fun weekend, you know, for them in little spring break tournament, pre spring break, because they're on spring break next week. Which is kind of cool. They start conference play and host Alabama here during spring break, so that's kind of cool for them. That would be a fun series. I know Jack will be, or fun game. I know Jack will be out there for that. It's Alabama softball. I think, like I mentioned, they're number 10, and they usually are, you know, under head coach Patrick Murphy, a contender every year. Him and Lonnie have a good relationship, and that's why they're coming out here. I think one of the problems for FSU softball is it's hard to get an opponent out here because Tallahassee's a desert, geographically is a desert where it's hard to get here, it's hard to leave here, and just travel's a nightmare. There's nothing around, like, the closest airport's being, like, you know, 4 hours or 2 hours, 2.5 hours away.
And the airport here sucks. So not to be blunt, but it does. Like, if you live in Tallahassee, you can relate. It costs too much to fly anywhere. Yeah, and if you want to realistically fly in, you would have to go to Jacksonville or Destin or Panama City. Like, it's hard. It's hard, period. It's hard to get here unless you drive.
Yeah, definitely. No, but 11-4 FSU still, you know, talented team. Have a ton of talent. You know, I think one player we should probably mention is, you know, Jasoni Beachum.
Yeah.
Was named the Softball America Freshman of the Month. Had a great start to her career. She's a very humble player, very dedicated to this
She's
game.
Awesome.
I think Jack will have a feature on her next week.
I'll try. I have the interviews ready. Just have to formulate it a bit. But yeah, no, I covered her in high school. She's a great, great, great softball player, and has probably one of the hottest bats on the roster right now here at FSU. It's been exciting to see her transition from high school ball all the way to one of the top teams in college ball right now. So it's been fun. She's a lot of fun to watch.
Definitely. Now, I think we could wrap around that part, Jack. Where can we find us on socials?
I
guess since our socials are separating now.
Yeah. You can find all of our stuff at nolesports.com. Nolesports on Twitter/X, Nolesports on Facebook, Nolesports TD on YouTube. I subscribe to the Noel Sports podcast on here and stuff like that. My handle is at Jack G. Williams. And then if you want to keep up with Essen in his future endeavors, his handle is Essen_Kasem. Hopefully we will have some news for you guys soon as to who will be taking up Essen's spot. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Noel Sports podcast. Oh, yeah, subscribe. Follow the podcast. Subscribe to the Tallahassee Democrat, where our stories are at, stuff like that. NoelSports.com for that too, Tallahassee.com. And yeah, thank you, Essen, for just about everything that you've done for this beat and amplifying it, and the work that you've done over the past year and a half now. And I know everyone in Tallahassee, everyone here at the Democrat is rooting you on and see what's happening next.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you for letting me on this journey, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for Florida State when it comes to baseball, softball, basketball. Everything is pointing up.
It is. It'll be fun to see what's in store.
Thank you, guys, and like and subscribe. Bye.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.